Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to wait. Especially if your stomach is growling and you're hungry and the kids want to be fed. Is the mac and cheese ready yet? And so sometimes we rush the process. We get in a hurry. We don't let the water boil. We don't make sure that the macaroni is tender before we add the cheese and the milk and the butter. And I can tell you what happens when you don't wait for it. You end up terribly disappointed because it's tough, it's hard, it cracks, it doesn't taste very good. Wait for it. Hope waits. The season of Advent is about hope. The color blue reminds us of hope. But we don't hope the way other people hope. Because for some people, hope is just wishful thinking, like wishing upon a star. It's a perhaps, maybe, possibility, probability. We'll see. We'll see. But for children of God, for people who have their hope built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness, well, that's a certainty, my friends. Because if you know that if you wait for the mac and cheese, it's coming, how much more certain when what you're waiting for is Jesus? He's coming, you know, in the bread and wine of Holy Communion. He's coming where two or three are gathered in His name. He's coming. A little baby born in an unlikely place, a stable, a manger, and He's coming again. We call it the parousia, the second coming of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes in the clouds, Jesus says, you just have to wait for it. Hope waits. When Paul writes his letter to the church in Rome, chapter 8, he says that all creation is groaning in travail like a woman in labor, waiting for the adoption of God's sons and daughters and the redemption of our bodies. And then Paul says, and in this hope we are saved. Hope that is seen is not hope. Who hopes for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see, Paul says, and we wait for it patiently. And then in our epistle reading for tonight, did you hear what Paul said? It's the opening salutation, the greeting, and the thanksgiving. And he's going to be writing some hard words to the Corinthians, who are sometimes guilty of cheap grace and all kinds of immorality. But he's going to start off and he is going to proclaim a word of certainty. Did you hear it when it was read tonight? Paul said, and he, the one that you're waiting for, Jesus Christ, in whom we have the grace of God, Jesus Christ will keep you guiltless, blameless, to the end. How do you know? Because God is faithful. A pretty good word to start with, isn't it? And here's one of the things that I've always told people. When you're reading 1 Corinthians, and you're looking at the salutation, and you're looking at the thanksgiving, make sure that you've got a pen with your Bible. And every time in those opening 9 verses that you see the name Jesus, circle it, 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 circle it. You know why? Because in 9 verses, the name Jesus is mentioned 8 times. Do you think Paul is trying to tell the Corinthians and you and me something? Everything that he has to write about, everything that he has to preach about, everything is going to be from Jesus and about Jesus. Because without Jesus, you can't have hope. You can have a fake variety of it. You can have a maybe, perhaps, we'll see. Let's wish upon a star. But without Jesus, you can't have real Bible hope, which is certainty, which is for sure, because God is faithful. Hope waits. And hope has a name. the name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. That's how you'll know when somebody says, well, I sure hope so, or I'm hoping. You'll know if the hope is grounded in certainty or just wishful thinking when they tell you the name of their hope. Because without Jesus, there is no real hope. Hope waits. Do you like to wait? I mean, we got a granddaughter named Hope. And you don't want to mention about 11:30 a.m. Well, in about 15 minutes, I'm going to go up and get lunch ready. Because Hope is going to go immediately for the door and up the steps, and she's going to be making a fuss until Grandma has the food ready for her. Because she doesn't like to wait. I mean, we spend a lot of time waiting at stoplights, waiting in a grocery store for our turn to have our groceries scanned and for us to make our payment. We spend time waiting for a diagnosis. We spend time waiting with what we call gestation when we're having a baby. In fact, the experts say that the average person in America waits at least 45 minutes every day. Wow. That means that in a lifetime of 70 years, let's say, you're going to wait at least 3 years. Now, you can either waste the time while you're waiting, or you can invest in the time while you're waiting. Hope waits. But it's not passive waiting, it's active and engaged waiting. Like Jesus says, a master who goes on a journey, and he's got a bunch of servants, and he leads them in charge. And he says to the doorkeeper, you stay awake, don't fall asleep on me. We got our work to do while we wait with hope. His name is Jesus in our hearts. Waiting. I learned a wonderful lesson about waiting. When I was a pastor in Little Falls, Minnesota, I would do lots of hospital visits at St. Gabriel's Hospital. We were a large church, so there were lots of people to see, and then they would always let us know if someone was there who wasn't a member of our congregation. And one day I went and I visited Lorraine Kelleher, a member of our congregation. She had been having abdominal pain, and they were running all kinds of tests, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. I went in, I was visiting with her, and then before I left, I said, I'm going to read some scripture to you, Lorraine, and we're going to pray that God would help these doctors get a diagnosis to figure out what's going on. And so we read scripture, we prayed, and then I left the room, and I'm going outside, and there in the hallway is Dr. Milo Hansen. He's just standing right on the side of the door there. I said, Dr. Hansen, how long have you been there? He said, oh, about 5 to 10 minutes. I said, what? I said, you could have come in. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you or to keep you waiting. And this is what Dr. Milo Hansen, a member of my church, said. He said, Pastor, God has called us to be his servants. And what you are doing for Lorraine is just as important to her healing as what I am doing. Several years passed, and then I went to the emergency room, the ICU I should call it, because Dr. Milo Hansen was a patient there, and he was about to be discharged. But he was no longer able to go home in his own house by himself anymore. So I went in, I was visiting with Dr. Hansen, and I said, Milo, I said, you know what I've been thinking about? You remember that time a few years back when you were waiting outside the hall while I was visiting with Lorraine? I said, you know, you really taught me an important lesson that day about waiting and how God's people always do it with hope in their hearts, as servants of Jesus. And then I said to Milo, I said, I heard that they're going to be moving you today, but that you're not able to go home anymore. They're going to send you to St. Otto's, is that right? He said, yes. I said, do you mind if I ask, how do you feel about that? Not going to his home, that he'd been in for over 50 years, going to a care facility, a nursing home. How do you feel about that? Can I ask? You know what Dr. Milo Hansen said to me? He looked at me and he was so stern, so serious. He said, "I don't like it." And then he paused. And he said, "But I've accepted it." I said, "Milo, you just gave me another gift. I'm never going to forget that. To be brutally honest with God, I don't like it. And then to submit and surrender in hope. In hope, whose name is Jesus. Because hope does not disappoint us. I've accepted it. And so we wait. Hope waits. In our gospel reading for tonight, it's called The Little Apocalypse, Mark chapter 13. That means it's a revelation. It's an unveiling. But what is it showing us? What is it helping us to see? It's like three different levels in one story. It's like the book of Daniel, which can be really confusing when you get all these visions and stuff, until you unpack it. You see, it's not about timetables. It's not about predicting or forecasting. It's about preaching. It's about waiting with hope in our hearts. It all starts out, Mark chapter 13, the first verse. Jesus and the disciples are coming out of the Jerusalem temple. They come out of the Jerusalem temple, and right away, building fascination. Wow. Look at this building. Impressive, Jesus. Big stones. Lot of money. Wow. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, "Brick and mortar fascination, huh? Got a surprise for you. Within a generation, not one stone of this temple is going to be left." And they go up to the Mount of Olives, which is on a hillside where you can look down and you can see the old city, Jerusalem. You can see the temple. And right away, James and John and Peter, they're that inner circle of three, you know. And they say, "Like when? Can you tell us?" And so Jesus proceeds to speak to the question of when. But when what? You see, it's Holy Week. Passover is only 2 days away. The end time is near for Jesus. He's going to be crucified on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. Is that the end? You want to know when? What about when the temple and all these stones are going to be toppled? Well, we knew that in 70 AD, within a generation, Titus, the Roman general, is going to come marching in, and they're going to level the temple, the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, and he's going to be standing in the Holy of Holies, desecrating it. Because only one person could go in the Holy of Holies once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest, after sin atonement had been made for him. You want to know when? And then it's a slippery road in Mark 13, because now all of a sudden Jesus is saying, "But the Son of Man, he's coming back too, you know. But first he has to be crucified, buried, and raised. He ascends into heaven, and he'll return again to judge the living and the dead." The advent of our Lord. When? Did you hear what Jesus said? "Nobody knows except the Father." So put your calculators and your calendars away and stop speculating and stop predicting, because no one knows, not the angels, not the Son, only the Father. So what are you supposed to do while you're waiting? Hope waits with certainty, with promise. The Son of Man is coming in the clouds. You can bank on it. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will remain forever, Jesus says. So what do you do while you're waiting? when you know that there's going to be persecutions and there's going to be suffering and you're going to be hated by all people for my name's sake, Jesus says? What are you going to do while you're waiting during this time of crisis? Well, you wait with calm and confidence in your heart. You don't worry. It's not an anxious waiting. It's an excited and eager waiting, to be sure. It's not a passive waiting. It's an active waiting. We've got work to do. The master's gone. He's coming back, you know. We're his servants. Hey, doorkeeper, stay awake. Don't fall asleep on the job. What I say to you, I say to all, stay awake. Doesn't mean you can't take some sleep. You can take a nap, but don't be indifferent to the kingdom of God and the opportunities. In fact, here's the bottom line. If you read all of Mark 13, you would already know this. The bottom line is, while you wait, God is giving you an opportunity to preach the good news. Seriously, that's what hope does. Hope waits, and while hope waits, hope preaches the good news. In other words, while we wait, we preach hope. And hope has a name. His name is Jesus. That's what we do. I told you about St. Gabriel's Hospital and about Dr. Milo Hansen. Well, I also saw people at the hospital that weren't members of our congregation. And one day, I went into the hospital. No members were in there. And the receptionist said, but we've got a woman here. She's up in the intensive care unit, and she said she'd like to see a Lutheran pastor. You're a Lutheran pastor, right? I said, yeah. I said, I'll go up and see her. Well, she was from Pine River, which is north of Little Falls, up around the Brainerd Lakes area and stuff. And she was 98 years old, congestive heart failure. So I went in and I introduced myself, and I'm talking to this woman and finding out a little bit about her. And I said, so how did you end up here in St. Gabriel's Hospital? Pine River, why not Brainerd, you know? And she said, well, I couldn't live in my house anymore. And with my health and stuff, I needed to go to a care facility. There was none open. There was only one spot open at St. Otto's in Little Falls. And then because of my health, I had to come here to the hospital. So we got to visit, and I found out she'd been a Lutheran her whole life, 98 years. And she had a deep love for Jesus. I mean, she had a hope that waits. So you know what she did? She just laid there, so calm and so peaceful. And I said, well, would it be okay if I read some scripture and had a prayer with you before I left? She said, well, that's why I said I wanted a Lutheran pastor to come and see me. Of course I want you to read scripture and pray with me. So I did. Martin Luther loved Psalm 130, wrote a hymn in the Reformation days. Out of the depths I cry to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. O Lord, if you were to mark, keep score of my sins, I would perish. Who could stand? But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared, reverenced, and awed. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. More than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is forgiveness of sins, and there is plenteous redemption. Wait. And I prayed. And then this 98-year-old woman, she looked up at me with this big smile. How did you know, Pastor? How did I know what? How did you know, Pastor? That's me. That's my story. I'm just waiting. She wasn't just waiting to die. She was waiting to rise. She was waiting for the promised return of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She believed the promise of God's word. In his word, I hope. Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and when it's prepared, I'll come and take you so that where I am, there you may be also. Hope waits, and hope believes, and hope trusts in the promises of God, which are all rooted and anchored in the name of Jesus, 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 8 times in 9 verses. Don't ever find yourself getting too tired of talking about Jesus. Paul doesn't. While we wait in hope, while we wait in promise, we keep preaching. The master's gone, but he's coming back. Abraham and Sarah, they had to wait 25 years. You remember what happened when they were 65 and 75? God said, I'm calling you out of retirement. Hit the road. And by the way, you're going to have so many kids, you're not going to be able to count them, more than the stars in the heavens. What? And they waited for 25 years, and they tried to help God out along the way. Well, how about if I just adopt Eliezer, my slave from Damascus? How about we just use Hagar, my maid, with a little bit of surrogate help? 25 years. And then God comes with a birth announcement and says, in the spring you're going to have a son. And they laughed. And God said, I love it. Laughter. That's a great name for a boy. Yeah, let's call him Isaac. And he's born. And then you know what happens? When he's grown up a little, old enough to carry a big pile of wood for a sacrifice, God says, Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go up and sacrifice him on Mount Moriah. And Abraham obeyed, and Isaac submitted, and God provided. For it shall be called on this mountain, the Lord will provide himself a substitute. You know the story about the lamb. And so years later, on that same mountain, Mount Moriah, hope was fulfilled. We call it Calvary, we call it Golgotha. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Your sin, my sin. And in his word, I hope. He's crucified for us. He's buried for us. He's raised for us. Yep, hope waits because you have a word. And the word promises to come back. And you can bank on it because he's going to keep you guiltless and blameless until the very end. How do you know? God is faithful. Hope has a name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.